Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Chicago, without a live studio audience. Yes, it has been a while, folks, but it's summer schedule, and the kiddos are away and busy, but that's good news. Okay, so you'll be my unlive studio audience listening today. We have a very special sponsorship of Monday Motivation this week. Did you know that you can sponsor Monday Motivation? You just go to project613.com/donate and go to the drop-down menu and you can choose Monday Motivation sponsorship. And that's amazing. Assuming our website is working, which I hope it will be. But if you have problems, contact me. We can do all sorts of other payments, but the glitch should be out. All right, but this week's podcast is sponsored by the Weil family, Corey and Liel Weil. Corey and Liel are such amazing participants, alumni of Project 613. We're just in love with them. So proud of them, everything they're doing. And Corey, last year he sponsored this Monday Motivation from Qatar, where he was serving as an Air Force Reserve engineer officer. Unbelievable, unbelievably talented young man. And he is sponsoring this week's Monday Motivation, and he'd like to give the following dedication. Monday Motivation sponsorship in honor of my wife, Liel Bas Boris, on our 2-year anniversary, Yud Aleph Tammuz, the 11th of Tammuz, for her dedication in building a home and family based on Torah, mitzvahs, and chesed, which is kindness. Absolutely true. Such a beautiful dedication. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Liel. May these words of Torah be a merit for you to continue on your exciting journey to invest in learning in Yeshiva. We are so proud of both of you. All right. So thank you to the Weil family for your sponsorship. We have an exciting Shabbos coming up in Project 613 land. It's like a double header. We have an incredible mentorship program with Olami, which is our umbrella sponsor. We are a proud part of the Olami network. And we together run an incredible mentorship program in which our Jewish young professionals are matched with incredible Jewish mentors from the Jewish community. And we are bringing everyone together for a Shabbaton, in addition to a regular incredible Shabbaton for Project 613. So we're going to have tons of people here in West Rogers Park, God willing, for this Shabbos. We cannot wait. Super excited. If you have Jewish young professionals who would like to connect to their Judaism, to other amazing Jewish young professionals and the Jewish community of Chicago, please send them our way. All right, we are done with commercials. And now we get to the flames of Discord. Ta-da! Yes, talk about Discord. We have had a lot of it in America with the rancor of the political debate, the cultural debate, culminating in, well, an assassination attempt on the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. The best meme I have seen yet so far, not to make light of the situation, but humor is always a nice thing to share. But I saw a meme that said, Secret Service said, Donald, duck! Doom, boom. I think that's pretty funny. Donald Duck. The not live studio audience on the couch actually is enjoying that one. Okay. So here we go. But I make light of a very serious situation where you have an assassination attempt of a former president. And I'm not sure many people could say that they were surprised by such an effort. It's not for me to pontificate or to speculate about what a good or bad job the Secret Service did. I'll leave that for the political experts. But the topic of vociferous debate, crossing over the line is something very timely for the Jewish people right now, not only, well, especially in Israel, where there is a vociferous debate right now. Obviously, we talked about a little bit last week in terms of the hostage and not, and the war, and the anti-Bibi crew seems very similar to the anti-Donald crew. And the voices within Israel right now are screaming, just as the voices in America are screaming. And unfortunately, that can lead to violence. However, that is not the only time, sadly, in Jewish history where the flames of discord led to actual flames. The flames of the burning of the Talmud. And I'd like to share with you, because this comes up literally this time of year, as we are approaching the 3 weeks. We just entered the month of Tammuz. And on the 17th of Tammuz, through the next month, the 9th of Av, we begin the 3 weeks of tragedy among the Jewish people, where we unfortunately commemorate and relive the destruction of the temples and really some of the worst tragedies that have befallen the Jewish people. And that is the catch-all mourning period where we mourn for all of that destruction. And on Tisha B'Av itself, on the 9th of Av, one of the kinos, one of the elegies, one of the lamentations, the kinos that we say, the lamentations, number 41, speaks about really an unspeakable tragedy that the Talmud in the year 1242 was burned in France. And we're not talking about one volume or five volumes. We're talking about 24 wagon loads of Talmud being burned in the square right outside of Notre Dame Church Cathedral. And there are estimates that over 10,000 manuscripts were burned of Talmud, predominantly the Talmud, but other Jewish texts, which honestly, to put it into perspective, was the death knell for French scholarship, French Jewish scholarship. The Tosfos, anyone who's even open to Talmud knows that the Tosfos are one of the pillars of the commentaries of the Talmud, and they were located mostly in France at that time. And this was the death knell for an entire school of thought, an entire school of Jewish scholarship that is the backbone of the Jewish people and of the Talmud. And because there really wasn't a printing press for another couple hundred years. And so therefore, the destruction was not a temporary destruction where you can go onto Amazon and order a Talmud. It was a destruction. It was the end of the era, or at least the beginning of the end of the era of the Tosfos. This was such a tragedy that a great rabbi who we spoke about last week, the Maharam of Rutenberg, was the captive. He was there. He was there in 1242 when King Louis the 14th, the French king, burned the Talmud. Now, I want to go back because nothing happens in a vacuum. We are very clear that if there are tragedies that befall the Jewish people, if there are tragedies that happen to us, we are not victims. We do not blame the other person. That does not exonerate good old King Louis the 14th. It does not exonerate the evil people, of whom we'll speak of one in particular, who led to the Talmud being burned. Does not absolve them or exempt them from their culpability and their punishment in the next world for their tremendous tragedies they wrought on the Jewish people. But nevertheless, we can hold two ideas simultaneously. We can simultaneously hold and believe that those people are evil and wicked and will be punished, and yet also that we deserved it, that we have to take responsibility, that if we are going to be receiving this, it means that the divine address was correct and that we have to introspect to find out what we did wrong. This is the opposite of the victim culture of today, of blaming everyone else for your problems. We take responsibility. We look ourselves in the mirror and we look at the Almighty straight in the eye and say, we can do better. We're sorry, Hashem. We can do better. And so here's the background. The background is that there was an apostate. An apostate is someone who goes off the path of Judaism. His name was Nicholas Donin, of La Rochelle. Now, fascinating. There's a little bit of a disagreement among historical scholars, but most seem to say that in the year 1225, he was excommunicated from the ghetto of Paris by Rabbi Yechiel of Paris. Now, Rabbi Yechiel of Paris was going to be one of the four, he was the main rabbi of Paris and of France in general, but he was one of the four who was going to defend the Talmud. We'll get there. And so it seemed to be maybe possibly even a little bit personal what was going on here. He was excommunicated, Donin, because of his heretical beliefs. He had become a Karaite. He rejected the authority of the Talmud, the rabbinic tradition. Okay, and after 10 years of living in Cherem, in excommunication, he was baptized into the Roman Catholic Church, and he joined the Franciscan order. Now, I hate to be politically incorrect, but if anyone has any fluffy, lovely, gushy, warm feelings towards the Franciscan or Dominican orders, I will just ask you to look at what they did during the Middle Ages to the Jewish people, and you can come to your own conclusions. But nevertheless, so Donin was now a vitriolic, vehement, Franciscan monk, and he in 1238, so again, he officially joined the Franciscan order in 1235. In 1238, he went to Rome and he presented himself before Pope Gregory the Ninth, and he denounced the Talmud, and he brought 35 articles against the Talmud, I guess, of impeachment. Okay, and he also charged Judaism rejected many of the things that, well, Judaism rejects. The virginity of Mary, right? We believe that God did not impregnate her. And the divinity of JC, which we don't believe he's divine. So guilty as charged. And so the Pope then basically made a decree that the church should then seize all the copies of the Talmud and deposit them with the Dominicans and the Franciscans. Now, most of Europe actually did not hold of that decree. However, our very pious King Louis XIV, who was a religious, radical, fanatic Christian, and he decided in March of 1240 to put the Talmud on trial with a disputation, which basically means that there's really no fair argument, and it's basically a done deal. But nevertheless, four very distinguished rabbis, Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, who we mentioned, Rav Moshe of Kusi, Rav Yehuda of Melon, and Shmuel ben Shlomo of Chateau Thierry, I apologize to the French speakers, I butchered their names. Okay, to basically respond to Donin's claims in a public debate. Okay, again, they couldn't really deny any fundamentals of Christianity. So Donin was declared victorious by the Christian officials presiding. Surprise, surprise. And Louis the Ninth. If I said Louis the 14th before, I apologize. It was Louis the Ninth, condemned the Talmud to be burned. And in 1242... This when, on Friday, 1242, Erev Parshas Chukas, on the Friday before Parshas Chukas, which was this last week's Torah portion, that is when the 24 wagon loads of Talmud were brought to the square in front of Notre Dame and burned. And an eyewitness, Rav Tzidkiyahu ben Avraham Arofe, said at the time, quote, from Torah scholars who were involved, we heard that the rabbis inquired of heaven by means of a dream. She'elas chalom. Now, don't try this at home. This had to be on a very high level. I'm not even sure what this means. To discuss, but they basically had a way of asking through dreams if this really was what Hashem wanted. So they wanted to discover whether this terrible event had been so decreed by the Almighty. The heavenly reply was given in three words, and it's in Aramaic. Dog zeras oraita, which means this is the decree of the Torah, which in Hebrew means zos chukas haTorah. And that is the beginning of that week's Torah portion. And so therefore, everyone accepted upon themselves that this was a decree from heaven, straight from heaven. Now, okay, so what do we do with that? There was a decree from heaven via this evil, awful Nicholas Donin, may Hashem erase his name, through the French King Louis IX to destroy the Talmud. And we could stop there and point fingers at them, but a great, great many people saw clearly a punishment. Midah keneged midah, measure for measure. That not long before, the Jewish, many, many Jewish scholars and sages opposed the works of Maimonides, of the Rambam, the Mori Nevuchim, the Guide to Perplexed, and the Sefer Amada, which had basic ideas of Judaism. And my mom, and they disagreed vehemently with some of the ideas expressed there. And they told the Dominican monks about Maimonides' terrible writings, and the Dominicans were all too happy to agree to fulfill their wishes. The rabbis went to the monks and had the monks burn the Rambam, Maimonides, and that happened in 1234 in Montpellier, France. In 1234, and then again in 1242, right there in Paris. And there's Rabbi Rabbeinu Yonah of Verona, but also here it brings down Rabbi Hillel of Verona, an eyewitness who comes and he sees the destruction of the Talmud. And he says, literally the pages of Maimonides were still ashes in the same fire that the Talmud was burned in. And he takes this as a sign and a proof that this was a measure for measure. If we are going to burn the books of Maimonides, then our books are going to be burned. This is called being emotionally mature, spiritually sophisticated. Yes, there are bad guys, but we brought this on ourselves. It's our fault. We have no one to blame but ourselves, because we fanned the flames of discord. We were the ones that increased machlokas, disagreement, with a passion that was beyond what was acceptable. It is one thing to stand up for what one believes. It is one thing to argue in a passionate way for one's opinion. We are based on disagreements. The Jewish entire mode of learning is through machlokas, through arguing for the sake of heaven. But when one fans the flames of discord and makes it personal and has another person's writings burned, at that point, the Almighty looks down and said, that is not the way. You are going to burn the works of the Rambam. Then sadly, the works, the words of the Bali Tosfos, of the Talmud, are going to be burned as well. Folks, we live in some of the most remarkable, I would even say, frightening, if we don't believe in Hashem. Obviously, Hashem has his plan. The Almighty is going to take care of us. We live in very tenuous times. I think that's a good way of saying it. I think we all need to take a page from the burning of the Talmud, from fanning the flames of discord, that we ourselves should check our passions at the door and make sure that our discourse with others is respectful. It does not mean we need to agree with them. And if you find yourself from now until November, I don't know, 1 or 5th, devolving into screaming at other people or cutting other people out of your life because of a ridiculous election, the Almighty runs the world anyway. Everyone who gets so upset and passionate about politics, stop it, because it's not worth it, because the Almighty is going to choose whoever he wants. Whoever he wants. And if you like the candidate or if you don't like the candidate, it just doesn't matter. So that is a page from the Machlokas, the disagreement of the past that fanned the flames of discord that led to the flames of the Talmud. We should take note. We should take this lesson to heart. It's okay to disagree, but it is not okay to fan the flames of discord. God bless. Have an amazing week. And Bezerat Hashem, with Hashem's help, he will guide us to be able to have productive discussion and discourse and respect the other person made in divine image, especially a fellow Jew. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we'll see you again, God willing, next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Love me so well.